Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiano. I'm joined today by Mon Janine Mothma Cagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm good. I just received a text from your brother saying I'm a tipsy little honky-tonk girl.
All right.
He's in Nashville currently. Oh, mercy. All right. So
today we are talking about Star Wars Visions, the season one from 2021. There's 9 episodes and there is a new season on the way. Did you watch, by the way, this is not part of it, but I'm willing to talk about it.
Okay.
Did you watch Zen, Grogu, and the Dust Bunnies?
I did. Yes. I saw the Dust Bunnies before I saw that it was Studio Ghibli. And I was like, those are Ghibli Dust Bunnies. So cute. I loved it. I thought it was
adorable.
An adorable
look. I wanted more out of it.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
It was cute.
It looked like ink, like a brush ink on paper.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
It's basically just, like there's no background. It's just baby Grogu like meditating. And then the Studio Ghibli Dust Bunnies.
Right. From Spirited Away.
And
are they in something else?
They're in Totoro too.
Oh.
In the house.
Oh, okay.
I think they were in a lot of them.
I've only seen Totoro once. I've seen Spirited Away a lot.
Yeah, and they just like, I don't know, they fuck around with him. And
yeah, they're fun.
In the end,
they give him like a flower. Yeah, it's really cute.
Grogu like draws a circle and we're all one.
Yeah.
Honestly, as a film fan, the most exciting thing is seeing the Lucasfilm logo followed by the Studio Ghibli logo.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Give me
two.
A whole thing.
I know.
Just do a whole.
I want that.
Just like.
Especially with these little tastes of
Miyazaki,
like this anime.
He goes in and out of retirement left and right. Just be like, listen,
I mean, I know.
Just go ahead and do. But there's some Miyazaki-esque stuff in Visions.
Yeah.
So Star Wars Visions, the concept here is, well, me and Janine are famous for our critiques of Love, Death, and Robots. And it's kind of like that. I mean, there's no boobies in it, but it's different teams of artists doing Star Wars
their take
shorts.
On Star Wars.
Right. And
it has
some
nothing
of them
to do with
canon.
The canon. Oh, okay.
Some
of them
are. But some are not. Some are just like remixes.
Which ones are canon?
Offhand,
I'm surprised
I can't
by
remember.
That.
Offhand, I can't remember.
I thought none of them were.
I think like The Village Bride could be canon.
I mean, I guess.
Like there's some that could be canon. But then there's some that are just like completely like you're just taking the elements and remixing them.
Yeah.
Which is what I love.
Right. They're Star Wars stories.
Right, right. And
which, by the way, I think is what they should do with the Harry Potter universe. I think they should not follow like the Star Wars lead of like trying to make everything fit into the Harry Potter storyline. And I thought they were going to do that with Fantastic Beasts, and then they didn't. And they shoehorned Dumbledore in, and then they started bringing it all back to Hogwarts. Just tell a story in this world.
Well, if
in
the
this
first,
universe,
it's because they don't have the guts. Like if the first Fantastic Beasts had not fucking shit the bed, they wouldn't have put Dumbledore into it so intensely. I mean,
it's because they're too ambitious. They're trying to tell like some crazy epic story. It's like, just tell a small story.
Yeah, just or yeah, I agree. So the majority of these are Japanese filmmakers.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you do sub or dub, or did you do both?
I did dub.
I did dub.
Okay. So there's a lot of like anime inspired kind of stuff here.
Yeah. I mean, I thought all of it was.
Yeah. Saying anime itself is
I know.
Like,
anime is just like so broad.
Because there's like
so many different examples of like anime
like,
style.
Maybe my
animation.
Favorite episode is like an Astro Boy episode.
Yeah.
And that's such a different, more cartoony.
Is that your favorite? Because that's my favorite.
I think it is my
favorite.
It's my favorite.
It's my favorite both times I've watched it. I'm like, oh, God,
I love it very much. Okay. So
nothing is cuter.
What's interesting is in the credits, usually of anything, it'll say based on Star Wars by George Lucas, but these all say inspired by Star Wars.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
By George Lucas.
When it comes up at the end of Andor, I'm like, is it though?
So episode one is called The Duel. This is 16 minutes.
Very cool.
It's
very
from
cool.
A studio called Kamikaze Duga.
Mm-hmm.
It's directed by Taban Obu Nizuno, who also works in video games. And it's written by Mitsuyoshi Saki.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like black and white with like a weird film grain.
It's very cool.
But the lasers are colored. Like the lightsabers are colors
also
and
some
lights are colors.
Yeah, lights are colorful. I have to say, just watching, just like starting with this, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
This is cool. This is just really, really cool. Right. Like you said, it looks grainy. It looks like an old samurai movie.
Right. There's an R2 unit with like a straw hat on.
Yeah. I thought his whole thing was like, his whole deal was like thatched or something. Like they're trying to make him.
Just a wicker.
He's a wicker droid. So this is crazy.
Well, right out the gate, it's very not canon. It's very like, it's taking one of the things that we've always all known about Star Wars, which is like they're inspired by, you know, Akira Kurosawa movies, and like pushing that way further in that direction. Right,
being like, oh, it is, it's just an Akira Kurosawa movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's,
they call the Jedi a Ronin.
Ronin, they call him Ronin, like a rogue samurai. Yeah. I mean, he looks like a samurai. He has the robes, but like Jedi look like samurais. Right, again, it's that thing of, it's that cyclical thing.
Yeah.
Like one inspired the other and now it's coming back full circle.
Yeah.
We're outside of, just outside of a village.
Yeah.
He stops at like, I guess a little tea house.
Yeah.
The proprietor's really nice. Just a harried man.
Yeah.
And the villagers are attacked by a group of
bandits.
I don't know if they're like they're bandits, but I don't know if they're like former stormtroopers or if they've like just repurposed stormtrooper armor. That's a really
interesting question, because I thought about that too. I think the word I have in my head is remix. I think it's like, okay, you've got this Star Wars color palette, now make your own thing with it. So of course you're gonna like think of course you're gonna use the stormtrooper-esque aesthetic. You know, like think about how many like not Darth Vaders there are in these shorts.
Sure. Oh yeah,
like both the main characters and twins are basically just Darth Vaders that aren't Darth Vaders. It's just like taking those elements and using them to create a new thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think they're militarized, but they're bandits, which again is very Japanese. It's like they're coming through.
Yeah, and they're shaking down everybody in the town. They're threatening them. They're saying like, we're gonna kill you if you don't give us things. And but the cool thing is, it looks like found pieces of armor. Like it's like the broken off bottom of a stormtrooper visor that someone's wearing.
Yeah.
It's very hodgepodge, like they found this stuff and they threw it on, and now and they act like pirates, you know. Like modern pirate, like Somalian pirates, like where they look kind of tattered, but they're gonna jump into your business and take your stuff. So they encounter the village chief, who's
a little kid,
precocious and brave young man. He's very little. And he's like, the guards will deal with you. And so then they have their guard team. What is that? What's it? Is it a Trandoshan? The lizard people? The lizard guy? He's like the captain of the guard.
Oh, what are they called? That's like what Bosk is.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google, what is Bosk? They'd be like, is that a TBS show? What?
Yeah, it's a Trandoshan.
Okay, yeah.
So it's this Trandoshan who's the chief guard. And then they have this, what is it? Probe droid or whatever that has like all these... Are they lightsabers? I don't know. It has many arms. It like spins around and takes them all out. And they're like, yay, we won. And the samurai is kind of observing. The Ronin is observing from the tea house. And is like, am I getting involved? No, I'm not getting involved. Yeah, yeah. They'll be fine. Better not to reveal myself. They'll handle it.
Then there's like a kind of Sith person.
Yeah.
Like this woman shrouded in black with wonderful high heels.
Right. So many high heel ladies on this show.
You gotta. And she's got
an umbrella,
but I can only describe as a lightsaber parasol.
Yeah, and it's almost as if the beam of light is diverted among the spokes of this wheel, and it's like a bow staff with like a wagon wheel attached to it.
Yeah,
right. And she can manipulate it like an umbrella,
right?
And so, and then the light goes wherever she's manipulating with, and so she can like spin it around.
And she just fucks people up.
She's just doing her like Mary Poppins worst and killing everybody left and right. So that's when the samurai is like, "Oh shit, I gotta get involved."
And what's interesting in this cartoon and in a lot of the other ones is there's a real emphasis, meditation, concern with who has blue and who has red. Blue is good, red. It's almost like these filmmakers don't care about the sequels or the prequels. Mm-hmm. They're just like, what is cool about the original mm-hmm. Star Wars? Like, the good guys have blue and the bad guys have red. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something about the, there's a sort of simplistic joy. Even a lot of the sound effects mm-hmm. are taken right out of the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I kind of love that.
Well, you know, they're so short. It really is Star Wars distilled. It's like, what do we like? What is right. a touchstone of Star Wars that we can place literally anywhere in any story that someone's right. going to be like, oh, that's Star Wars.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's it really comes down to the lightsabers. At one point, there's just like a big lightsaber in space.
Well, that episode is truly a love letter to lightsabers.
It really
it's
is.
It's just all
it
about
really
lightsabers.
Is. But there's so much of that in this show. But yeah, in this one, so we have this really cool lightsaber. This lady's spinning around her umbrella.
The R2 droid gets damaged.
Yeah.
And he says to like the guy who runs the tea shop, like, can you fix him? And he's like, he puts the
Ronin kettle.
Puts a kettle on. And he's like, by the time the tea's done, he's got to be fixed because I'm going to need him for something.
Right, yeah. And the guy's like, okay.
Yeah.
And just is like frantically trying to fix him.
Right.
And
he goes and he fights the woman.
Yeah. And so this is a cool reveal, though, because you assume he's a Jedi.
Right.
Is he? Is he not? I don't know. By the end, I think it's unresolved. But he's certain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. I'm interested to hear. So he comes. She's like, "All right, I'm gonna kill you next." And he blocks it with his hands. He like force holds it. Her
Which
lightsaber.
Is iconography that The Force Awakens gave us.
Yes.
And it's one of the best things they gave us.
It really is. They do it in Twins as well, which is cool because it's one of the coolest things I
just
think
stopping,
in The Force Awakens, and it's in the first like what 5 minutes,
right.
10 minutes,
stopping a
where
laser
he just
with
stops
the Force.
A laser, and you're like, "Oh fuck!
Yeah.
Oh no! Why didn't Darth Vader do this? He should have been doing this all the time." Yeah, so it's very cool. And then she's like, a Jedi. Oh, I haven't killed a Jedi in a while. And, you know, he takes out his lightsaber and then it's red. And she's totally shocked.
Right.
She's like, you coward. So they fight.
They have a cool, like, they're like on a waterfall, like on a log.
On a log.
Fighting.
It's one of those fights which, you know. People always in films and cartoons especially end up on logs going over a waterfall.
Well, if you're in a river, look to the left.
There's a waterfall coming.
You're about to hit a waterfall. they go over the waterfall and there's like, I guess like a temple behind the waterfall, like built into the fucking mountain or whatever.
Yeah.
Because she sees through the water, she sees his blade turn on mm-hmm. and she's like, I got you. And she rushes through the water and cuts what she thinks is him in half, but it's just a statue. It looks like a Buddha statue that he just put his lightsaber in
mm-hmm.
and then he fucking gets her from
gets
behind.
What does the droid do? Like where in the fight?
It flies around.
The tea kettle boils
yeah.
and they both hear it. At this point, they're on the log, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a cool, like,
the kettle begins
it's
to...
It's a cool alarm because he's like, okay, now it's time for the droid to do his thing.
The droid, like when R2-D2 would fly in the prequel.
Oh, he shoots all those missiles out of his back.
He kills a bunch of
he kills a bunch of the bandits. That's it. So he's handling the bandits, the droid. And then they do this fight in the temple and he kills her.
Yeah.
One thing I made a note of was I did not expect all that hair when she took off her cloak.
I loved it.
All these hair. She's got crazy big hair.
Yeah.
Do you think he was traveling to that temple or from that temple?
I don't know.
Or if it's unrelated, it's just a temple.
I don't know. There's a lot of Japan planets in these shorts.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. So what's your theory? So anyway, like he defeats her, comes back, and the chief thanks him, the little boy. And then you see in his robe, he's got all of these red kyber crystals, like just a big old collection.
Right. So I don't think he's a Sith. I think he hunts
Siths. But then he just takes a Sith, like he uses
he takes
lightsaber.
Their lightsaber. Because he breaks her lightsaber and he takes the kyber crystal out. And then he gives it to the chief kid and he's like, this will bring you luck.
Yeah.
Take care of it. It wards off evil, even though it's a red kyber crystal.
It's like people wearing a shark tooth or something, like the thing that kills you.
But it's interesting when he opens the red blade, they're like, thank you for saving us. And he opens his red blade, they're all like, oh no. And then he like breaks her lightsaber.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It's a cool idea.
It is. This is a cool one. I like this one a lot. There are some, truthfully, there's some that I either just don't get or I don't find very compelling. But this one I really liked.
This one's good. This one, I think, like, inspired a spinoff. I think there's like a book or a comic book about more of this character.
Okay.
Well, you and I did an episode a couple months ago about canon and what's good about canon and bad about canon. Yes. And I erred on the side of like, I think there's so much more fun things we could do if we don't give a shit about canon. And here's just an example of that. Mm-hmm. Like, just fucking...
just do some stories.
Yeah. Lightsabers are cool. Robots are cool.
I know. That's when they sell lightsabers and droids at Galaxy's Edge. So two cool things.
When you were there, did you make a lightsaber?
No. None of that stuff. We didn't do any of that.
I might have, when I did that, cried a little bit.
We were just melting.
That's a cool thing to do.
Well, we did, stormtroopers did walk past us and tell us to go about our day.
I love it. So episode two is called Tatooine Rhapsody.
This is a weak one for me.
I think it's adorable.
It's a cute way into the Star Wars universe, right? It's like a weird little backdoor never seen.
It's that cute style of anime where it's squashed down people. Mm-hmm. It's not clear until you see older designs, like when you see Boba Fett and he looks like a little squashed down guy. You're like, oh, I get what they're doing here. Yeah. And I like the idea. Just the whole thing is cute. Like, I love the idea.
Rock fans.
Yeah, and one of them is a Hutt.
Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah.
Plays a Hutt. But what's the deal with... what's his name? Oh, God. The lead singer. Was he a Padawan? Okay.
He survived Order 66. The Hutt finds him.
Okay.
This is by Studio Colorado?
Colorado.
It's directed by Taku Kimura. Mm-hmm. This is the first thing he's directed, but he's mostly an anime actor.
Interesting.
And it's written by Yasumi Atarishi.
Okay. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays the lead singer.
Yes.
I think maybe they could have gotten a singer.
Yeah.
It's his voice a little rough. But I love the idea of a rock band just trying to make
it. Their name is called Starwaver.
Starwaver. What a great name. It should have been about Helix, though.
His name is, the protagonist's name is Jay.
Jay.
Then on the bass, you have Geezer, who's the, or they call him Gee. He's the... He's the Hutt guy.
The drummer is so cool. It's like a three top devil. Like
three torso devil man who plays like a bunch of different drums.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Lan.
Okay.
I
also like the thing that they do in all of these where none of them have like Star Wars-y names necessarily.
Right,
they
feel
more like Japanese names or, Japanese inspired at least.
Right. And then on
the
electric
droid.
Guitar is a droid named Curdy.
Mm-hmm. Curdy. It's cute.
So it's very cute designs. They've got like the big round eyes and squishable.
So Boba Fett. So they're playing a show. It's a poorly attended show.
Of course.
And Boba Fett crashes the show because he's taking in the bassist because Jabba wants him. And then... it's revealed that he's actually Jabba's nephew and he wants him to like become part of like take his place in the family business.
And he's like, I don't want to do that, man.
Yeah. He just wants to rock and roll. One of the cool parts of this when they run. Well, first of all, they like shoot like a flamethrower at Boba Fett and they're let's cheese it.
Well, yeah. When their instruments turn into weapons.
Yeah. It's very cool. So he gets knocked back. And the cool thing is the stage that they're performing on is just the back of the ship.
Yeah.
It looks just like an auditorium kind of stage like a rock club stage. But then they like pull away and the stage comes with them and they just like shut the back of the stage up.
Would you say the kid's microphone is a lightsaber hilt?
Yeah.
Cool as fuck. Come on.
Yeah, but he can't use it anymore.
Right.
Like, he tries to fight and it, like, fizzles. Mm-mm. Like, it's not working.
Someone says, I got a bad feeling about this. That's in almost all of these. Somebody says, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? I was looking for it every time. But he says it. Yeah. Jay says
it. It's in a lot of these.
A lot of them, but not all across the board. Which is fine, that's fun. But yeah, he says, I got a bad feeling about this. And basically they do end up taking him in. Boba Fett takes him in and he feels very guilty. He's like, he wouldn't have left us behind. Let's go get him.
Right. They're going to execute him in the podcast like arena.
The podcast arena.
I'm sorry. The pod racer.
The pod race arena.
There must be a podcast about pod racing, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, it has to be. The Pod Pod.
Yeah. And somehow he's like, we made a deal with Jabba. Who cares?
Yeah.
He's right. Like, somehow.
He's like, they're going to let us play one last show before they take you in.
And they're basically like a, they're like a pop punk.
Pop punk band.
Like an early 2000s.
None of the lyrics make any sense at all.
But it's a jam and everybody
Everyone's
loves
like,
it.
One more song.
You see Jabba tapping
his tail.
Tapping
his little tail.
He is loving it. He's having a good time.
It's so funny. And so, yeah, like, I think, I mean, maybe the lyrics make more sense in Japanese, but they don't really make too much sense in English. And you like, it's being broadcast, I guess, because a lot of people across the galaxy hear it and I guess are inspired
loving
by this
it.
Song.
Right. The hook of the song is free yourself.
Yeah. You are okay.
I love it.
So,
oh, you could see Luke's farm at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. He must be listening in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So he's like, hey, Jabba, we're going to be the number one band in the universe. You better sign us. So why don't you be our new sponsor? Ooh, like, are you going to say yes? It's all
and
of that.
Jabba lets them live.
He does. He can't, he can't help
hard.
Himself. I can't. Yeah.
They're too cool.
He wants like 85% of the merch sales.
So obviously this is can't be canon.
This
but
is a silly one.
But what's fun about it?
It's fun. It's just fun.
Yeah. And what's fun about it is like I like the idea of like not every person, not every Padawan who like survived like has to become like Luke. Like,
right.
Like just this kid just wanted to be, he just became a rock star.
Yeah.
That's who he's meant to be.
Yeah.
And he would have never found that in the Order.
No.
So this is really, he's really set himself free.
Yeah. And I like that the lightsaber fizzles so he can't use it.
Right.
He can't fight. He has to do what he can do. And right. What he can do is like, he can rock it out. He can sing it. He can sing it from his heart.
You fucking bet he did. It's a lot of fun.
It is a fun one.
I mean, it's called Tatooine Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Come on now, folks. So episode 3 is called The Twins.
The Twins.
This is by a studio named Trigger. It's directed by Hiroyuki Imayashi, who worked on things like Gurren Lagann and Neon Genesis Evangelion, like big things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written by Hiromi Wakabayashi.
Mm-hmm.
I love this episode.
Oh, really? This is one of my least favorite ones. Visually, it's very arresting. Like, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the Alison Brie, like, voice performance. Like, I assumed that was just, like, a convention
She's,
of
like,
anime.
She's, like, going crazy on purpose.
But the thing is, like, I kind of don't necessarily understand what's happening all the time on the screen. I'm like, what? I find it actually hard to follow with like the very dramatic like zoom in, so like you're seeing like very close, and I know that's also like part of it, but
it seems to be emulating old TV anime, because there was all these tricks to make it less production heavy, so like it's jittery because basically you're repeating cells more.
Okay.
So like it's got that, but clearly it didn't have to do that. Like it's
right.
got the
They're
jittery.
Just doing it on purpose.
It's got all the pushing in and out because that's a way to create. It's a cheap, easy way to create
movement
motion without animating.
Well, I was telling you this before we started recording that. Not that I'm uncomfortable discussing it, but I'm just like, I feel ill-equipped to really like critique this.
I mean, I am too. I mean, I guess I'm more into anime now in like the last couple of years, but
I'd
like,
say so,
I don't know.
Yeah. I really don't know much about the genre, which I know is a very broad category of animation, but like, I know very little. So what I assume are like choices that they're making purposely, like Alison Brie's like very over the top voice performance. Like you were explaining to me, like that's something they used to do.
Right. Because the American dubs would be like just some actor who didn't really give a shit. And they were just
like, this is a villain. Do a villain voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. She's so over the top.
Right. It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's good. But this one, I was kind of bored by, honestly.
Really?
It's extremely exposition heavy. It's like when we were conceived through the dark side and all this. It's all exposition.
See, I love the look of it. I love.
The look is cool. The look
is cool.
It's
cool twins.
Yeah.
And obviously, like,
it's a
Luke and Leia
side,
are
Luke
twins.
And Leia.
Yeah.
They're conceived through the dark side,
right.
as we've been told.
And they
have twin Star Destroyers.
Which is crazy.
That are attached by this, like, central cannon.
Right.
And it's another death. I think it's the other thing. Like, I just get annoyed by Death Star plot lines. I'm like, who knows if in this universe of Star Wars, whatever version this is, there even is a Death Star.
But it's not.
But it's like a Death Star device.
But they're not gonna like use it. Like,
blow up a planet.
Yeah, but the point of it is that he's trying to save. He has a vision of her dying, so he's trying to save her.
Okay, because they're using this dark armor as
right, well. Like they have like Darth Vader outfits.
Yes, but and it's they use not kyber life crystals. Support. Right. It's just dark armor.
Right, and they use kyber crystals to like I don't know
power it. Yeah.
How can you not love a cartoon that ends with an X-Wing?
Yeah.
The dude's standing on the nose of the X-Wing, not even sitting in it. Makes his lightsaber like ginormous
cut through a Star Destroyer.
How is that not like, just the greatest thing you've ever seen?
You know what? I would love that if I didn't already see that shot in Last Jedi. Or not Last Jedi. Yeah.
Well, it's not a lightsaber, though.
No, I know. It's a ship, but it's that same shot of like the light cutting through the Star Destroyer, cutting it right in half.
It's so kinetic, and it's just so. I like how bananas it is. It's super, bananas. And they've like got evil droids.
Yeah, they have like a dark. So like the Luke analog, Kare, played by Neil Patrick Harris, has like an R2.
Yeah.
And Am, who's the Leia analog, has a like a C-3PO droid.
Right. 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 I love the color scheme of like pinks and purples.
Yeah. I also just like the armor designs. Like you said, they're like riffing off of Darth Vader's armor.
Right. And it's the ship is called the Gemini class ship.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. Yeah. We're having fun. And the droid's name is R-Duo.
R-Duo.
Come on now.
I like that.
They use a lot of sounds right out of the original trilogy. Let's see.
But basically,
I like when he takes off his mask and he's got the flowing.
Oh yeah. But anime also, hair. He's just walking around outside in space.
Oh yeah.
You know, they could do that.
They're fighting on a Star Destroyer. Oh, yeah.
Just walking on it.
Yeah.
Having
an awesome time.
You know, they're strong with the Force. It ends with him on Tatooine, basically. Like he's in the desert. It's like the twin sons shot of Luke. And he's like, I know she's still out there because she's my twin sister.
Right. Well, he steals like the power source.
Right.
And she's like, where are you going with that?
Right.
And then he runs away. And inside the power source is just a kyber crystal. Mm-hmm. They do like a Kylo Ren Rey thing where they're both trying to grab it and it breaks in two.
Yeah.
She takes the kyber crystal and like jams it into her chest, which like makes her more powerful.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but then it's like I was able to, it's all a dream. It was like all a vision that he showed her.
Right.
He's like, I was able to use the power of the Force to show you what would happen if you did this. But then she just goes and does it anyway immediately.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know what? So my least favorites are the twins and the Village Bride. And they're back to back and I was like, it always slows down in the middle for me. And then I like the last four a lot.
The Village Bride ends really strong. Like the end scene is pretty awesome, but everything leading up to it is a little bit of a.
So, all right. Do you want to hop into that or do you have more you want to
discuss? Yeah, let's talk about Village Bride. Okay. Episode 4. This is 20 minutes long. It's by a studio named Cinema Citrus.
That's cute.
It's directed by Hitoshi Haga and Alexander Orlando Smith. It's written by Takahito Anoshi and Hitoshi Haga. Sorry if I'm butchering those names. This is sort of a typical, I kind of would say like a typical anime style because it's very thin lines, it's bold colors, and there's details where you need details and not details where you don't need details. This is another like Japan planet. I kind of like this. I kind of like the idea of like how do people stand up against the Empire and
again, it's sort of like who are these people threatening the village? It seems like it almost seems like post Empire, like when these different cells would sort of jump into power vacuums because they don't seem like none of these people seem imperial, even though they're obviously evil. Like they just seem too like not put together. You know, like especially in watching, you know, the more recent shows where everybody from the Empire is like in a uniform and they're squared away.
Yeah. Actually, I think this is Clone Wars era because they refer to separatists And there's also battle droids.
Oh, yeah. Which, but by they the way, they repurposed the battle droids.
Right. These bad guys.
Well, anyway, so I'm sorry. It's this planet that seems like very tied to its tradition. And this Jedi visits. Who is she visiting? Who is that guy to her? It's not her old master.
Who?
The Jedi who comes to visit the planet.
There's two. There's the Buckethead.
The Buckethead is a Jedi.
Yes.
Okay.
That's her, I think.
It's not her former master.
No, her former master died, but I think it's like her current master or something like that.
Okay.
They're both Jedi there to see what's going on.
Okay. So he wears a bucket on his head.
Yeah.
For reasons unknown.
But in the end, that bucket.
That bucket, sure.
Saves the fucking day.
So he wears a bucket. He calls her to this planet. He's like, there's some stuff going on here you might want to see. That mask isn't. He's an anti-masker. He doesn't want her to wear her mask.
It's very different in Star Wars, though, we should say.
So she is brought to this planet to observe what's going on.
And they're very like into
nature. The
and they have an idea of the Force, but they call it
Majina.
Majina, yeah.
Yes. Which is spelled exactly like vagina and just starts with an M. So it kind of reminds me of Princess Mononoke, the naturalist, like having like face paint, and it's the village bride, so she's a bride and the groom has to carry her to this mountain.
Right, and they've known each other their whole lives and they love each other.
Yeah. And they go there, they say like Majina, may you rise.
Yeah.
And then this blue light comes out of a stone and it shows them like the memories of the planet and like things to come, maybe? Yeah. I'm not sure. But the Jedi is like, observing their, I guess, manipulation of the Force, or just how strong their connection is to the Force. But they can't do anything. They can just like witness it.
Yeah.
So then they return. They have their like marriage feast. And then it's like, oh, by the way, she's going to go. Be offered up as tribute.
They're getting married tomorrow because she's leaving.
Yeah.
In
place of her grandfather, which should be like,
right?
I think very dishonorable of that man,
right,
to allow his very young granddaughter to be given up.
But I like the younger sister who's like
Saku. She's like, we're ready to go.
Let's fight back.
Yeah. She's like, I got all these people here with me.
Right.
We're ready to fight.
And she's right, because in the end, they didn't fucking keep their deal.
No. So who these people are, I don't know necessarily.
Wait, they I think they call them raiders, because they say like their planet was torn by the separatists, meaning Clone Wars, and then they left the droids, and then these guys repurposed the droids. Yeah. And I think they're just like the episode with the samurai episode. I think they're just like dare to just like steal your shit.
Yeah, they're just like bandits, I guess.
They say she's collateral. Like, so like we're gonna take you so like they don't try to fight and stuff.
Yeah. So it's three people basically. It's a guy, like two henchmen, and then just a bunch of droids.
Yes.
And
I like battle droids.
You like battle droids?
I like
Roger.
Yeah, the battle droids and the Naboo starfighters are probably the two designs I like most out of the prequels.
Hmm.
And now that's back because Mando.
Oh, yeah. So they find that the sister was actually planning on ambushing them.
Yeah, so they've got the little sister tied up.
They're about to murk her. And the Jedi, who has been secretly observing and spying on this couple having a very sacred ceremony in a kind of creepy stalkerish way, which she... Her eyes don't belong there. She shouldn't be watching them. But she watches their whole like Majina ceremony and then follows them back to the wedding.
She does something interesting too, because she cuts off her braid.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I don't know what that is.
Well, we know like.
But wait, does she cut off her braid?
She cuts off her own braid.
Because Ocho cuts off her braid. In Lop and Ocho cuts off her own braid.
Yes, that I know.
Okay, so this one too. Oh, I didn't remember that about
this. The young Jedi, I have written here, the young Jedi removes her mask and cuts her braid off.
Weird. So that happens twice in this series. Interesting. Okay, so I don't understand the significance of that necessarily.
I think in canon, cutting off your braid is when you become a Jedi. Like when you become like, you go from Padawan.
Padawan, like rat tail that you have.
Right. I don't know. What the? I don't know.
If you're a woman, you just cut your hair off.
There's more going on than we know, because like she's disturbed by the death of her master. Mm-hmm. And because at one point he's like, ah, these people need some help. And she's like, I know what you're trying to do. So I think she's like become like kind of
isolationist.
I had a stroke.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she's rejoining the fight. I don't know.
Yeah.
She has a yellow blade, which I love yellow blades.
That is cool.
And it looks like a katana.
And she's also got crazy high heels.
You fucking bet she does.
And they're like, they make her move like supersonic speed.
Yeah. Yeah. She
charges up her shoes and then she blades them all. The bucket man shoots his bucket off of his head.
It's actually a rocket.
It's a rocket.
It goes into the ship.
Which he shouldn't wear on his head. It seems very dangerous.
It goes into the ship and Yeah, I know.
What a shot he made.
And like in episode one, it makes all the battle droids fail.
Right. Because all you have to do is turn them off and then all of them go off.
And that type of ship is the ship that was Dash Rendar's ship from Shadows of the Empire.
Okay.
Which whenever you see one of those ships, it's an exciting time for me.
So, all right. So they take out these chumps, like the chumps they are.
I find the whole ending thrilling. I love, the Jedi says, Majina, may you rise and let the Force be with you.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
I'm like, I don't get any of this. What is the Majina? Can we have a better name for it, please? Because I watch this with subtitles and it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's one of these stories of like...
We were talking about Andor thing.
Last week. Like, it's about like regular people resisting.
Yeah. This is the type... So like, we see this story a lot. Like, we saw it in Tales of the Jedi with Ahsoka. You see it a lot in this, in Visions. It's like... I mean, it was the first episode as well. It's like a Jedi comes to a town. They're having some trouble. He helps them out. It's like The Mandalorian as well. You know, it's episodic. What's the trouble of the week?
Yeah. The next episode is called The Ninth Jedi. This is a longer
one. I really like this one.
This one's really good. This is a longer one. It's 25 minutes.
Yeah.
It's the studio is called Production IG. Mm-hmm. Written and directed by Kenji Kamiyama, mm-hmm. who worked on Ghost of the Shell and Akira.
Cool.
This one is a love letter to lightsabers.
It sure is. Well, and, I mean, we open with a skyhook asteroid. Like, they're just grabbing stuff out of space and just yanking it back down to the planet.
This one is so not in canon because I don't know where... there's nowhere in canon you could place this. This is just, there were Jedi and there aren't anymore. And
right.
Like, this guy, the Margrave on this planet, wants to bring Jedi back.
I was just about to, what is a Margrave?
No clue. And his planet
has... A Margrave, a medieval title for a military commander assigned to maintain the border provinces of the Holy Roman Empire.
There you go.
The Margrave.
Yeah. And this planet has kyber crystals in it. So he's mining for kyber crystals, but he's also trying to bring back the Jedi to restore peace in the galaxy.
Right.
It begins with like a narration.
Yes.
Telling us what's happened in this galaxy. Margrave, his name is Joro. He's the
Joro. Margrave Joro. Yeah, right.
The ruler of the planet High Islan. There are dark forces trying to find all the suspected Jedi and start a new era of Sith rule. What I like about this is it brings us back to like the original trilogy where like if you used the Force and you were good, you were a Jedi.
Yeah.
Like Jedi doesn't mean you were part of this specific thing.
Yeah.
Like when you're good, like you're a Jedi.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're introduced to these people who receive a holographic message.
Right.
That's like just really laying it all out there. Like, hi, clue. My name is Margrave Joro. I live here. I would like to give you a lightsaber. You seem like a Jedi to me. Well, right. How's he finding them? Who knows? But this guy, this makes me laugh too because it's like another one of these line deliveries. He's like, hello, my name is Ethan. I came here.
Yeah.
It's like kind of robotic.
Yeah.
So this dude, Ethan, comes in to this...
They're in this temple. It's like an upside down...
Yeah, it looks like an upside down lightsaber. But you don't really see that at the end until the end.
At the end, you realize what we're seeing.
You just see the light is coming out of it. And it's upside down.
It looks upside down.
Which is cool.
In relation to the planet below.
Yeah, so it's hovering over this planet.
Yeah.
Like a space station. And it's a temple. And so this guy, he enters and there's a bunch of other people assembled.
Yeah.
And they're discussing, like, do we think this message is legit or not? You know.
The Margrave isn't there.
Right. They're like, he's coming.
There's a droid, like, representative of him.
Yes.
Who's like, he's coming.
They're like, I'll show you a lightsaber. This is what he wants to gift you with. And they'll be arriving shortly.
Right.
So they're all discussing, like, their suspicions. Do we think it's real? Whatever.
Yeah.
And then they leave that storyline, right, and they go to the planet surface, and they're a lightsaber smith,
yeah,
and his daughter, who is awesome.
Kara. Yeah, I love her.
She's great. He's crafting the lightsabers.
Yeah.
And she just like picks one up off the table and is like, "Whoa, so cool!" And is like testing it out, and she's awesome with it. Like, she's so great with it.
I love this lightsaber. Smith says, I designed them so that your connection to the Force will be reflected in it.
Right.
So, like, because she turns it on. She's like,
you can change the length of this one? He's like, no, it's just going to have whatever length that Force user needs from this lightsaber. And it looks like a shadow when she holds it. Like, she turns it on, but it doesn't turn into a laser for her. It turns into, like, this grayish kind of outline of a lightsaber. But she can still utilize it.
As she fights, it turns more and more green.
It's so awesome. Yes, because then when she's up there fighting, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh my God. Well, the fucking scene that I love is when the fucking... okay, go on.
So... And she's like, her droid is like shooting all this stuff at her, and she's smashing it all around. And he's like, her dad is the chillest guy ever. He's like, you have some skill with a lightsaber. Yeah. She's like, no, this girl is awesome.
These bad guys land, and he knows that these are probably like working for the Sith or whatever. Yeah. He knows that they're no good. And he's like, you have to leave now. And she's like, you're acting like you're never going to see me again. And he's like,
go out the back door. Quick now.
Yeah. She gets on a speeder bike. I love a good speeder bike chase.
I love her helmet with a big high ponytail coming out of it. I absolutely love that. So her character design is very cool. She almost looks like she's wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, she just looks like a casual kid in Star Wars. So,
By the way, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
She calls these bad guys Jedi Hunters.
Huh. Okay. So they mess up the shop. They blow it up. They attack the dad. And she's like, oh, no. So she takes off on the speeder bike. They pursue. This leads to a very cool speeder bike chase where they go over the ice.
Yeah.
And she like slides off her speeder bike and like has the lightsaber. And then she like cuts him off the lightsaber, basically. And then she steals his speeder bike and takes off.
Yeah. And her blade is turning green as she's like using it more. Progressively
getting greener.
She realizes.
Oh, 4-9s. I love her droid. 4-9s. Yeah. So cute.
After she gets away from them, she realizes she's got to go to the temple to see the Margrave. The father's alive, but has been taken.
Yeah.
And so she finds like these old droids that are like.
None of them work.
Yeah. They're like drinking hot oil like it's coffee.
It looks like it's coffee.
And she's like, you got to take me to the temple. And he's like,
I want my break.
And she's like, she bribes him to do it. I love it. I love a salty old droid.
So he takes her up there. She gets there. I love it. It's like they just deliver everything at their feet. It's like, here's a message with all the information you need to know. Here's this girl stumbling. And she's like, hi, here are some lightsabers. Can you guys help me get my dad? And they're like, oh,
yeah.
Lights? The guy actually gasps. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But, I think that's cool, though.
I like this idea that this is a time where like lightsabers just legends. Like none of them have actually seen a lightsaber.
So she gives them all the lightsabers and then it's this wonderful reveal.
I was genuinely shocked.
Me too. I really was. So she's like, where's the Margrave? They're like, wait, you've seen the Margrave? And she's like, yeah, I've known him since I was a little kid. And then
could take us to where he is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take us there. Then you were beginning to become suspicious of these people. And then do they turn on the lightsabers before he shows up? No.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they do.
They all turn on the lightsabers. Ethan's is blue and theirs are all red. They're
all red and it's a mess. Ethan's like, oh no.
Oh, and they know. She knows. Kara knows. Like, fucking red means you're bad. Your lightsabers
are red. That's not good. Right. And then what's funny though is like they're in peril and then the droid opens up. Because it's a huge droid. Yeah. It's like a very big droid. Opens up and he gets out
from it. Surprise Margrave.
Yeah. He's like an Easter egg Jedi. He's in there. And then she's like, the Margrave.
Right. And they start fighting.
They just start going at it. And he's killing people left and right.
The fucking coolest moment is one of these guys comes at him with the red blade. He uses the force to grab it. And when it hits his hand, it turns blue.
Yes.
It's the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
It's very, very cool. This is the only time I've seen that.
No, this is that's a conceit just for this.
This, but I love that.
Right.
I have Kyber fatigue, man. I'm so not interested in like, I don't like, and I feel like that's a thing that the animated series made really, really important.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like the Kyber crystals, and you have to find the crystal. And you got, like,
it's super influenced by Harry Potter, I think.
Really? Like the wand core?
Yeah. Oh, like, because the Kyber crystal
but they
calls
never
to
have
you.
To, like, find the wand core.
Yeah, but the right one comes to you, and you're not supposed to take someone else's. Like, that's. They supposedly, like, if you take somebody's and you force it to be yours, that's what turns it red. Oh. Or if you kill somebody and take their saber, it'll turn red. Mm. Something like that. Mm. Like, red is not a Kyber crystal color anymore in canon.
Right, because it used to be.
Right, it used to be.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it'll turn red.
I think there's too much Kyber lore. I'm not into it.
And then with Rogue One, they made it that it's Kyber crystals that power the Death Star.
Yeah. Everything runs on Kyber.
You saw the post-credit scene from Andor?
I did.
I didn't know it until I heard on Ringer podcast that there was one. I was like, there was one, and I went, saw
it. It's a little Andor way of doing some fan service.
It's what we suspected that in that little jail, they're making parts for the Death Star,
right? And so,
but it almost makes me like get nervous because, like, no, that's not.
I know. You're getting too close. Back away.
You're getting close to Skywalker's, and I don't want it.
No. This show is too good on its own. But it is. It's tragic. You know, Andor is building the very weapon that will kill him.
Yeah. It ends. Talking about Andor again.
God, we love this fucking show.
Andor ends up. It really functions as a show related to Rogue One because, like, Mon Mothma is a character in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Like it really.
It makes me want to revisit Rogue One, which is a film that I did not really like at all.
I think I like it, but I think.
I think there's very cool things in it, but I think the focus on Jyn Erso was a misstep. I don't think she's a very compelling character.
I think you could see that they rewrote it a lot because the first.
Well, I remember the trailer. She's like, well, rebellion. Yeah, this is a rebellion, right? I rebel. I was like, oh, God, no. Turn it off.
The pacing's really bad in the first part of the movie.
Yeah.
But the last third, all the fighting, that's like one of the best, I think, space battles.
There's very, very cool stuff that they. There's so much stuff from, like you said, they rewrote a lot of it, and you can tell. Not only because some of it just doesn't feel like it's part of the same movie, but also because stuff was cut that was in the trailer.
Right.
Like, that line was cut because it's a very bad line. But also that extremely cool scene of, like, a bunch of stormtroopers walking through, like, a tropical beach.
Right.
That wasn't there anymore.
Or her, like, running down, like, that precipice and there's a TIE fighter
that comes right up in front of her. I know. It should have been a much cooler movie,
But it's not bad.
I want to revisit it. I just felt like they didn't give there just wasn't enough time to care about any of these characters. They introduced so many people.
But now that I care about Andor.
I know. I want to go back. It's that rare instance. I read this whole article about, and it was very compelling about how, like, prequels don't work because you're following a less developed version of the character, so it's not the character you love. Because it's a prequel should be like about how the character became the character you love, and usually it means it's not as interesting of a person, and so you're following them on this journey where it's like, I know where they're ending up and it's fine. What's brilliant about Andor is like Andor is a cipher in Rogue One. You don't really know anything about him, and you don't really need to. And you know how he dies, and he's a hero, and that's fine. And it's like, you don't leave Rogue One, as we've said, attached to Andor. So it's like, who could possibly care about this character?
You know that none of these people can live.
Right.
Really.
But the brilliance of this being a prequel is like, it doesn't matter who he is. This is the story of this burgeoning rebellion.
Right.
And that... You know, that is a very interesting tale.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, the Ninth Jedi. So they have this battle. Ethan, you know, God bless him, he does his part. But it's Kara, yeah. right? So Kara, she just...
Right. Margrave is like, you should be... You're a Jedi.
You're obviously a Jedi, girl. Like, you...
You're the ninth Jedi, he calls yeah. her.
She takes a bunch of people out herself, and it's yeah. turning, like, greener and greener and greener yeah. as she's fighting. It's so cool.
This, I don't forget what happens where, like, the light comes out of the temple, because it's not always coming out of it.
Or maybe they just don't show it all the way.
Oh, maybe. In the end, it pulls back and the whole temple looks like a lightsaber. Yeah.
And then she's like, can you help me get my dad? And he's like, sure, of course I can. No and problem. And I'm like,
I want to watch this show.
I know. Yeah.
I want more of this. It's so cool.
And also Ethan was there. I just like his name is Ethan.
I know. So episode 6, I don't know. I keep saying this is my favorite. God.
It's my favorite.
TOB1.
I love everything about this. I love the story. I love the way it looks. Oh, you know, something I didn't talk about in The Village Bride was it had a really cool score.
Yeah.
And TOB1 has a really cool score too.
Yes.
It's synth heavy but lighthearted.
Yeah.
This one almost feels like a Disney cartoon to me. And it's a golden book. It's a little golden book. They have a TOB1.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do, which I kind of want to get.
So this one is really highly influenced by
Astro Boy. Yeah, which I don't know anything about, but it's so iconic that when I saw it, I was like, that looks like Astro Boy.
Right. Well, it's almost the same plot. Astro Boy is basically a Pinocchio story.
Uh-huh.
It's called Astro Boy here, but it's the Mighty Atom in Japan.
Okay.
And it's about a professor whose son dies, so he makes a robot, Astro Boy, and that's his son, and it's made by before it was an animated show, it was a manga, and it's made by Osamu Tezuka, who's the father of manga. He's like he did the Metropolis manga, like he's very important, and he was super influenced by Disney. Like if you read Metropolis, there's like a scene where like there's like rats in the and they all just look like Mickey. Like that's the thing about anime that people don't realize, which is like its origins come from Disney.
Wow.
So some of the things are still there, like the big eyes. Like right out of Disney.
Well, they have this like this old Disney style guide of like if you're drawing a baby, remember like he's gotta have a super big head and big eyes and little features. And they have like a Disney cartoonist like drawing of a baby, and then they show like this is how Dumbo, like he looks exactly like Dumbo,
right.
Like this is the character design that they have, their own kind of style guide that they adhere to, which is cool.
Yeah. So in this is a similar idea. You've got this professor. He's made this. He makes droids.
Yeah.
The only one, they're all like little, he's like a tinkerer. The only one that's like humanoid is TOB1. And he looks like Astro Boy. The whole thing actually has a really cool kind of teal blue color scheme.
Yeah, like blue and white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all over.
He's got this big red nose, Professor Mintaka. Yeah. Like he looks like Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's so cute. The whole thing is, it is a Pinocchio story, I guess, just like Astro Boy. They're trying to solve these equations to bring life to the planet.
Right, they're on a dead planet.
They're in a kind of Luke-esque igloo kind of structure. And the planet seems like desert-like, and they want clouds in the sky and green on the earth. That's the goal. So, but he has these daydreams of
being a Jedi. It's so adorable.
Being a hero.
He plays Jedi.
He's like, we have to do this first. Then we can play Jedi. It's so cute.
It's unbelievable.
And in it, he's human. In his daydreams, he's human. Yes,
which is very sweet.
Yeah, and he's Toby.
Yeah.
Which is so cute.
But I love at the end when the Sith is like, you can't be a Jedi, you're a droid.
Right.
And he's like, no, I fucking am a Jedi.
I am a Jedi. Why can he not be? They're droid Sith.
Right. Of course he can.
But is Grievous a Sith? No. He's just a Jedi hunter, right? Or he's just like, he just kills Jedi?
He's more a separatist. He's more like political. But,
that's the heart of Star Wars, where
it's like
anybody can be, right. So he's like, I know I should work. He's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's like, I know I should work, but I feel something calling to me.
I know. It melts you.
And he's like, I want you to look all, he's like, fine. I want you to look all over the planet for a kyber crystal. So he takes apart the planet looking.
Like, it's like a little montage of him like looking under rocks.
Yeah. And then he's like, don't go in the basement. And he's like, well, it must be in the basement.
Yeah.
So he goes down there, there's a little ship.
It looks like an Imperial shuttlecraft, like the one Han Solo uses in Return of the Jedi, and he's like, fly casual, but don't look like you're trying to fly casual.
Right. It's like a triangular looking shit. Like when so it, like the wings fold up to form a triangle.
I think the professor stole it.
I think so too.
Because when Toby gets in and he starts fucking around. He starts
playing. It's so sad because
it sends a message to a Star Destroyer. Yeah.
So it's like, this is TOB-1 sending out to all Jedi out there. And then, of course, they're like, we should check that out.
Yeah. And
Professor Mitaka comes down. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, please don't deactivate me. But he hides him. He reveals he's a Jedi.
Right. Professor's a Jedi.
And he knows he's going to die.
Well, we find out that he's a Jedi because
he's moving the rocks around.
Well, he rips the ship door off
with the Force.
Right. Love it.
You know. So he hides Toby.
Yes.
TOB-1. And
he says, the last thing he says to him is, I am one with the Force and the Force is with me.
Yeah. So what's his face from Rogue One?
Yeah. That's a Rogue One invention, that line.
Yeah. I like that stuck around.
Yeah, I love that. He comes out later and everything's destroyed. All the droids are destroyed. Mm-hmm. All of the work is destroyed and the professor's gone.
Right. It's a pile of rocks and it's like a grave. Yeah.
Yeah. And he feels guilty and he feels sad. And
But he's like, he decides, I'm going to finish his work
and restore life to the planet.
Yeah. So he keeps doing these equations and he looks outside one day and there's clouds in the sky and there's rain and he realizes like, it worked.
Yeah.
He's brought green to the earth. But then a Sith hung around.
Well, first he sees a vision of the professor.
Oh, saying.
So, and I don't know if I'm reading it right. He just opens his hand and there's a kyber crystal in his hand. The kyber
crystal's in it, yeah.
But is the kyber crystal inside his body?
Yeah, it was in him.
Okay. He has a C-3PO like circle in his torso.
Right. It's like, or like Iron Man. Like it's just, it was in his body. There is a kyber crystal on the planet. It's in him.
Yeah.
That's why he feels, I guess, the pull of the Force so strongly. And then he has the vision. Is that the vision where he's like, you are a Jedi. You're Toby.
Yeah.
So he names him. He like knights him.
Yeah. Then that's kind of canon. That's how. You've seen that before in animation. Like, that's how you become a Jedi, is they, like, do that.
It's so sweet. And then this Inquisitor is hanging around and flies down. It's like, I'm detecting, like, Jedi activity.
Yeah.
And fights Toby. He's just, like, a little boy with a heart of gold. And he's so brave. So they fight. And he's really good. And he just refuses to... Yeah. To be told otherwise. Yeah. He is a Jedi. Even though the Sith is saying, like, you can't be a Jedi.
Right, because he cuts his arm off and he sees that he's a droid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, your droid can't be a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does something so fucking awesome, which is his droid jumps on his back and turns into, like, a rocket launcher and shoots him.
Yes, that was awesome. Like, it became, like, it just clicked onto him. Like, it was supposed to be part.
Fucking flies and he kills the Sith.
Bill was like, it's Mega Man. He's doing Mega Man. He kind of looks like Mega Man, too. He's super Mega Man. Yeah. And also all the other droids team up on him.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It's a beautiful droid town.
I cannot emphasize enough the beauty of this animation. It almost looks like some of the backgrounds are painted with watercolor.
There's one shot that I actually took a picture of on my phone,
mm-hmm.
where it's the second time the second montage of him looking for a kyber crystal, and like he's like on this, everything's blue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like blue landscape. He's on a blue speeder. And it's at night and there's a huge blue moon behind him.
Mm.
And it's just this amazing shot of him just like going. And but I don't know if we said it. He brings life back to the planet. He does it. Like something grows. He does
do it. Yeah. I love the character design. Oh yeah. Look. Isn't it so cute?
Oh my God. I didn't know that was a thing and I need it now.
I found it yesterday when I was looking into this. Oh yeah. His droid is like CO3, I guess. And he just looks like a really... like a pared down R2-D2, R2 droid. It's just like a top and a body.
Right. And at the end, Toby flies away and he says, I'm going to go and help people because that's what a Jedi does.
Yeah. So sweet. Like he's going to go all around the galaxy and help people. Bless his fucking heart. Oh, yeah. I love this droid. Look at this little guy. He's so cute.
It's so. I want to watch it right now. It's just so. And I think I've talked on the show about Being Puppy Cat. It's that kind of like lo-fi, kind of chill vibes. Like you can just put this on and it's just like so
nothing to his satisfying. Face. There's just, nothing to it. It's just like little pink cheeks. He's got a line for a mouth, like a dot for a nose.
It's so satisfying.
And then he's got these cute little eyes that have like the little wedge taken out of them to denote a pupil. And that's it. It's such a simple design.
I love it. And the voice of the kid is really cute.
Oh, it's just the cutest little voice you've ever heard. Yeah, I love all of it.
And it so captures much. Like him playing Star Wars captures like a kid who likes Star Wars. Like, he's just like, I'm a Jedi. And it's adorable.
It's just so sweet. Yeah.
The next episode is episode 7, The Elder. And this is one that I don't think is very good. And I think,
I like the Elder character.
Right. The rest is kind of boring. And as much as I like him, I think, what's his name from Stranger Things?
Oh, David Harbour.
David Harbour's performance. Oh, no, my phone just died. And that's where all my notes are.
Do you have a charger? Good. Yeah, I do. Let me go grab it for you.
David Harbour's performance is a little...
It's a little wooden.
Yeah.
I think intentionally, but I don't think it works.
Yeah. So, episode 7, The Elder, 18 minutes long. This is, again, by the studio Trigger. Right. Written and directed by Masahiko Otoku. Mm-hmm. Who worked on Gurren Lagann, Fooly Cooly, and Neon Genesis
Evangelion. Fooly Cooly.
You ever seen Fooly Cooly?
No, but that's what I call...
It's also referred to as FLCL. It's really fucking good.
Did you ever... I don't know. Italian households did this too, I think. And like call butts coolies.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Because that's all they call their butts is coolies in this house. In this house, we call your butt a coolie.
Yeah. Fooly Cooly.
And if you're acting a fool, that's a Fooly Cooly.
That's a Fooly Cooly, absolutely. So this one I don't like that much. It's all right.
It's fine. The Elder is cool. Like the character the of the Elder. The idea of the Elder.
Right. It's basically...
So they're a Jedi, but no Sith.
An old young Jedi. Mm-hmm. It's either in canon at a time, like around the episode
prequel.
Episode one. Where there hasn't been Sith forever. Mm-hmm. The master's older and wizened, and the kid like really wants to use his fucking lightsaber.
Yeah, he really wants to fight.
And the kid's got a very not Star Wars name. What's his name?
Dan. His name is Dan.
Dan.
And it's not like, it's just Dan.
Yeah.
Dan.
Spelled D-H-A-A-A-N.
No. It's Tim on Andor. It's just like two M's. Yeah. Tim.
It's just D-A-N.
Which is so funny.
So they go, it's yet another Japan planet.
Yes.
They sense something dark.
Yeah. They're going to this planet. It's established that the master has like traveled a lot. Like, he's been to the most planets of any Jedi for some reason. That doesn't really have any bearing on the story.
I guess because the kid really wants adventure.
Yeah. He yearns for excitement, and it's been boring,
and he doesn't
know
that Jedi craves not these things.
Right, that's true. Sometimes the seeds of misfortune, what does he say? Sometimes when the seeds of misfortune are planted in the soil of peace. Some nonsense.
Some stupid nonsense. So they said something dark.
Mm-hmm. It's really just it's a master and Padawan story.
Yeah. What's cool is the Elder is this old ass guy who has yellow eyes and red lightsaber.
He's almost like a frog man or something.
Right. But the kid Dan says, are you a Sith? And he goes, no, I'm not a Sith. The Sith got too interested in one-upping one another. Mm-hmm. So he's like proto.
Old.
He's like old as fuck.
He's old, old.
He like left the Sith when he thought they were going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
He's his own thing. And he seems, his joy in life is getting a challenge.
Yeah.
Like when he fights the kid, he's like, clearly you're not the what I felt.
You're you must not be the Padawan. Snuff. Right.
I'll use you as bait.
Yeah.
And he does.
He's so evil, this guy. He's just...
But, like, you kind of can't help but like him.
No, I know. He's good. Because
he's
the only
crotchety.
Joyous part of this whole short. Like, they're just like, oh, I want to fight. And there's awkward sarcasm from Dan that's not...
Right. And he's just this sort of crotchety man.
He's like, come on, let's scrap.
Yeah.
How about you? You want to show me? I still got the fastball. Come on.
Yeah.
Like... This old man just wants to scrap with everybody he comes across.
He just wants to feel alive.
He's just getting in for a little bit of joy in his heart. Just a little taste.
A little bit of that lightsaber duel.
Oh my god!
Juice.
He's like practically orgasming when he's fighting with the master. Yeah, he's like, if I could have only had this in my prime.
Yeah.
Like, oh man.
And then the master says, in his prime, he probably would have beaten me.
This guy's good. Yeah, so he's two lightsabers. They're kind of shaped like daggers, or what? They're not like a classic kind of lightsaber shape.
Yeah.
They look shorter and more dangerous.
Yeah, they are. They're like little, like they're smaller blades.
Yeah.
He says, let us not speak with our mouths, but with our blades.
Nice.
Watch them.
He gets sexual gratification from this. You know he does. And you know what? That's fine. I don't want to yuck his yum. So one of the cool things in this is it's raining when they're fighting, and the steam is coming off the blades. That was a cool detail.
At one point, the Elder uses lightning hands.
Yeah. And the Jedi Master seems totally taken aback by this. He's like, I've not seen that kind of power, like, ever.
Well, like, it's a weird time because it's like... Like, it's almost like they're myths. Like, it's been so long since there's been, like, an actual Sith. They're like, whoa.
Yeah, in many ways, the Jedi are sort of naive.
Yeah.
Because they don't have this exposure to, like, this power. Like, this power that could take them down.
Like, during the High Republic era, like, there are no Sith.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it's like... Doesn't Dan say something like, are they real or something like that?
Right. Well, I mean, even when fucking he encounters Dan. Like a... Shut up, Dan. So,
get in the back of the ship, Dan.
So when he's like checking out this ship and he looks pretty... He looks pretty shocked by this ship.
It's like black
so
and
this
spooky.
This is a Sith ship.
This is a bad guy ship.
Yeah. He's like, he does that thing that the Jedi do when they're up their own asses of being in denial.
Yeah.
Where he's like, we don't know yet. It might be. Right. It's like clear as day that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I find that this... So he defeats the Elder.
Yeah.
But he does say, you know, like, he would have gotten me if... And Dan is grievously injured and has to recover and stays there. And then they're discussing this, like, you know, what happened. And I find that their discussion is really, really kind of, if this short does anything, it really is representative of the angst in the Padawan master relationship.
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, you're getting stronger and I'm going to decline. So it's always like there's always this awareness of you're training your replacement, essentially.
Right.
Like you're.
Which is a less perverse version of what the Sith do.
Right. Like the person you're going to kill me. Yeah. But it's still, there's tension there.
Yeah.
You can sense it in all of the prequel films.
Yeah.
The tension is obvious from Anakin to his master because he wants to run ahead and he wants to be the master and he wants to be more powerful. But you can also sense there's jealousy from Obi-Wan as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I find that that's what this short does best. You know, if it does anything really well, the Elder is very cool.
Yeah.
And also it has this conversation at the end where it's like, yeah, I'm going to get older and you're going to get more strong. You're going to get stronger. And that's just the way it goes.
Right.
That's the way of the galaxy.
So, all right. Next one's for the furries.
Lop and Ocho. I had the most notes about this one.
Yeah. What's your feelings?
So I liked it.
Yeah.
I do like it. But again, it's one of those stories where I feel like I know exactly where it's going to go.
Sure.
And that's fine because it's showing me really cool visuals and interesting character designs. So there's this planet that is abundant with natural resources and the Empire is essentially like mining it for all it's worth.
Yeah.
But it's established in the beginning, the narration, right? Saying like this planet has struggled with progress technological advancement. And so when the Empire comes, it brings all of this stuff with it. And so they've been working with the Empire, because they're benefiting from the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this off-planet race of rabbit people.
Yeah.
Humanoid rabbits who are used as slave labor, yeah. essentially. And so we meet Lop, who's this rabbit girl.
Adorable.
So cute. Running away. And she has a collar on her. And she runs to the marketplace and she's so hungry and she tries to reach out for some food. And then this guy snatches her hand. Boss Yasuburo, I think his name is. He's just this like giant of a man. He's got one eye. He seems really gruff and abrasive. And then his like very overly excited daughter. Now, this is a thing in anime too, where like excitable characters will just like yell all their dialogue.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So she's like, obviously they're obviously well to do because she's like really fancy.
Yeah, and they're like part of like a house.
Yeah.
Like the father like has like a clan with him and like they talk about their house and the,
yeah. I'm not clear what they do.
Passing things down. I don't know. I think they might be just like landlords or something.
Maybe. So they're like, the daughter's like, we'll adopt her. And like,
she'll be part of our family. Yeah.
Yeah. Immediately is like, you're going to be my new sister. And this is how it's going to go. So the boss is like, how could you do the dad is like, how could you do this to me? Now it would seem I would be rude to not invite her to our family. They take a picture on the beach. And
I know.
And then it's what, 7 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now the Empire has really kind of clenched its fist a little stronger around this planet.
The father is engaging in rebel activity.
Yes, he's so he's very unhappy with how this is going. He says, he attacks the Empire and he's like, I'm not going to watch as they strip the planet of my childhood.
Right.
It's basically the story of like imperialism following the colonial model of like you mine the natural resources in exchange for modernization.
You're right.
You destroy the land, you destroy the customs, and then that like and the more you take away, the more it angers the locals. And now they're at first they were benefiting and now they're losing out on this deal.
Right.
So we meet Lop 7 years in the future. She's like a fully fledged member of the family now.
Yeah.
And Ocho and her dad are having like a big fight.
Right.
Or basically she's like, we have to fall in line. We're getting all this stuff from the Empire. Right. If we ever want to progress, we have to keep with them. And he's like, absolutely not. I'm never going to allow this to happen. Like we got to resist. We have to fight back.
Right. She's a total bootlicker.
Yeah. She's a loyalist. Growth and prosperity for our future, she
right
says.
Right, she's right. Like the father doesn't understand, he's old-fashioned,
right? Like they get in this convertible, the land speeder, and they head off,
right?
And they're just having like a sister chat in a convertible, right. Which is cute. And she's like, you know, this is the type of dialogue that I never like about these things. It's so clumsy. She's like, even though I'm originally from a different planet, I've come to feel at home here.
Yeah.
It's like, honey, we know. We just saw this like 2 minutes ago. It's a short one. So where they're driving is to meet her like imperial
right. Lop doesn't know
connection.
That,
right.
But we find out that not only is she a bootlicker, but Ocho,
she's also betrayed
like, turned her father.
Yeah, she's a turncoat.
Right.
She told them everything about his plan.
And she cuts off her braid, but here it's not a Padawan braid.
No.
The braid represents the family.
I guess the family. Yes. She cuts it off. She gets sick Bob. She bites her finger.
Yeah.
And paints a cat eye on either of her eyelids.
She's got the...
It's the most insane, cool beauty move I've ever seen in my life.
She's got this the sexy empire hair. And mm-hmm. When we see her again, she has the white imperial outfit.
Right. So, yeah. So she plotted against the family.
In the first scene, little Ocho is so like, become part of our family. And now Lop is part of the family.
Yeah.
But as Ocho is being indoctrinated into the ideology of the empire, she's absorbing.
Yeah.
She's absorbing the human supremacy that comes with the empire. Mm. She's like, you're not really in our family.
Right. Like, just listen to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you what to do. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Whereas Lop all she wants to do is preserve the family.
Right.
So she's like, come on, come back. Like, all she wants is for her to come back. Yeah. And then, so she jumps. Oh, wait, I just want to talk about the officer, the Imperial officer, who has like the most evil eyebrows and like the like weird sharp teeth, and everything about him is like a smirk. Like, it's all very curved. Like, his eyebrows are curved. His smile is curved. He has like classic like villain drawing face. And he's got like green and purple hair. Yeah. Like, he looks crazy. So Lop is shocked that Ocho is conspiring with the Empire.
Right.
And so she jumps off this crazy high bridge and she falls like dozens of stories. But it's fine. Like, she's totally fine. She can do that. Rabbit people can do that.
Yeah, sure. So she has this cool like
a pink lens.
Yeah, over one eye.
Yeah, I don't know what it does.
Super cool.
It's cool.
Looks awesome.
That's what it does. It looks awesome. So she goes back to her father. Everybody has gone. I don't know what they did. The workers.
Yeah, yeah. I think they left the father, turned against him, whatever.
So he's there, the lone holdout. He wants to take down the Empire. She
tells him what happened.
She's like, he's like, you got to get her. You got to bring her back. We got to go get her.
And he's like, come with me.
Yeah.
And it's very sweet. He's like, I do think of you as a daughter.
Yeah,
you
he apologizes to her if he's ever favored Ocho over her.
And he gives her a lightsaber. Yeah. Says, this has been passed down in our family.
Right. And a Jedi helped our ancestors.
Yeah. And it represents the bonds between parent and child.
Yeah.
And she gives her.
He gives
because when Ocho sees it later, she's passed off.
Like, he gave it to you. And she's always screaming like, I just want you to come home and be part of the family. that's the thing. Like, both Lop and Ocho, like, when they have this confrontation, so they go, the dad is fighting, Lop is fighting, Ocho is fighting too. Like, they all seem to be good with a lightsaber or with weaponry. So I'm like, what are these people doing all day? Like, what are they up to?
Who knows?
So in any event, Lop and Ocho fight. Ocho's full Imperial now.
Right.
And she blinds her dad completely. So he only had one good eye to begin with, and now he has no eyes at all.
She kills the droid that they have.
Oh, TD.
Yeah. And
TD.
Yeah. And it's projecting the picture that they took when they were kids.
Yeah. So then there's this amazing scene with the cherry blossoms.
Yeah, to see cherry blossoms around like the steel, like grayness of Imperial architecture is such a cool juxtaposition.
It's really beautiful. And they're having this big showdown, and she just keeps reaching out and saying like, come back, like, please be part of this family. Yeah. And basically that's like the dad's message to her is like, you gotta keep trying. You can't give up on her. That's what sisters do.
Right. Right.
And then she leaves. Ocho leaves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest, I think, looking ones. Because a lot of the other shorts have sort of a simple aesthetic scheme. Mm-hmm. And this one's just like bananas. Like, if it reminds me of anything, it reminds me of like the League of Legends show. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like crazy. There's a fucking rabbit in it. And it's just nuts. But it's beautiful, and it actually, I think, ties into one of the more contemporary themes of Star Wars, which is like, family is something that you make.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It seems like a theme throughout, not just this, but Star Wars in general, is like, found families. And like,
I think just with contemporary Star Wars, because original Star Wars is all about actual lineage.
Right.
And who your father is and who your sister is.
And like, let's don't worry about the people who raised you.
Right, right.
Who found you.
Right, exactly.
You got to find your real sister so you can kiss her.
Right. So you can kiss her. Whereas now it's about like the adoptive family. Like Rey is a Palpatine, but she identifies as a Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Or of course, Grogu.
Oh, Grogu and his father. That's his dad.
So the last one, the ninth episode.
Aka Kiri.
It's...
Oh, you know what? I have a note here before. Did I say this? The TOB-1.
Yeah.
Tobio is the human name of Astro Boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You did not say that.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's it. So Aka Kiri means custody.
Okay.
Hmm.
do with that what you will.
I don't know what that
means. This one I'm not super hot on, although I like its style.
The style is very cool.
And I like that it has a downer ending. It's the only one of these that has like a bad ending, really.
Which is a weird way to end the season.
Right.
But this is another one that has a really cool score. It's like very fast drums.
Let me say, I didn't say that Lapin Ocho was from a studio called Gino Studio. Mm-hmm. It was directed by Yuki Irigashi mm-hmm. and written by Yasumi Atarishi mm-hmm. and Sayawaka.
Okay.
And what's this one called?
Akakiri.
This is directed by Yoon Young Chow and written by Yoichiro Kido, who also wrote T.O.B. 1.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And this is from a studio called Science Saru.
So I love the autocorrect that happens in my notes when I type Star Wars names. So it's like very similar to a Skin and Padre's story, which is supposed to be Anakin and Padme.
Yes, it is. Because he's in love with this princess. And what's cool, she's a princess, but she kind of looks like she has Leia's buns.
She's got the buns. Yeah, she's got the little buns.
She's got that. I don't know how to describe this style, but she's got this style. Like, it's so minimal. Like,
she's got like another little like line for a nose, line for a mouth.
But it's like but it's also like a little pink box.
Yes.
And green for her eyebrow.
Yeah, I love that.
Eyebrows are. And the Jedi in this is really bumbling, which I like. He's kind of a shitty Jedi.
Yeah.
And he has like force migraines.
Yes.
He's a shitty Jedi. He's not the Jedi you want.
He's having visions. He's having Star Wars visions.
Yeah.
He keeps envisioning killing someone over and over again.
Yeah.
And he's having nightmares about this. It's causing him to have really bad migraines. And then, like, of course, in the middle of a fight. So then he falls to the ground in pain.
Right. It's this.
That's how it starts. Like, he's fighting off a bunch of people. Right. And then he has this migraine that knocks him down. And he's saved by people shooting arrows.
So. Yeah.
And then when he wakes up, I love the two guys that she's with.
Yes.
I love them. They're like, wait, don't fight us. We're trying to help you.
Yeah.
And it's revealed that it's this princess.
His royal family had a Seth in it.
Yeah. He goes, I had to come back when I heard what happened to your father. So her dad, I guess the king, was killed and betrayed.
Yeah.
And so now she's on like on a mission to get revenge, and she's hired these two guys. These
so they're
hired
trying
guns
to make their way back to the
palace. Yeah,
he's wearing like a cowboy hat too. He looks like a cowboy.
He looks like Clint Eastwood. He's got like a poncho.
Yeah.
He's got a super hot voice because he's Henry Golding. Henry Golding.
Okay, who's that?
He's the star of Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So the Sith is Masago. Who was the king's sister who killed the king.
Yes.
She's in, when we finally see her, this one has some flashbacks. We see like mm-hmm. a flashback of the princess.
Oh, hold on. I just want to fact check something before I say it because Lorraine Toussaint plays the voice of Masago.
Yes.
The Sith. And is she?
She's from a lot of stuff.
But is she in She-Ra?
Yeah, I think she's Shadow Weaver.
She's Shadow Weaver, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but I just wanted to check that because I was like, her voice sounds so familiar. Yeah, she's Shadow Weaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
she rules.
Yeah.
She's animated sort of like...
She's cool looking.
She's very cool looking, but it's a very... I actually don't think it fits with the animation style of the short. Like, I think she looks not too different, but she just looks different. And she reminds me of the like witch and troll characters in Ghibli movies, like in Spirited Away.
She's all yellow and red, which is like
big bulging eyes.
Very like ugly colors together. Yeah. She's not at all what I thought she was gonna look like.
Mm.
She's broad and
and blonde.
Yeah. And this Jedi gets his ass kicked pretty handily.
Yes.
He sucks. He's a bad Jedi.
He's not good. He should have just left the Order and like married her.
Right.
He would have been good. But so is he having the vision as he's fighting and then he completes the vision?
I think you just have a flashback during the fight.
Okay. Of his
vision,
master.
Or of his master talking to him about the vision.
Yeah. It's like, I know you've been having these visions. You really shouldn't go back.
Right, he describes his vision, which is of him killing somebody.
Right.
And when they're at the palace, mm-hmm. the princess is taken prisoner. Mm-hmm. What we don't see is they like dress her up like
immediately,
like very quickly. Like,
they take her off stage, put her in a mask, stick her back on stage. Right.
And I was like, I gotta watch this again.
Yeah.
And then when you watch it again, you realize
can see her arms are tied behind her back, and she's just kind of walking.
Stumbling towards him, where the other three are coming towards him.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it's about destiny, and like he keeps
fighting. He's like, it's not predestined,
but he kind of is, because he does end up killing her.
Yeah, he kills her, and then it's this Anakin thing.
Yeah,
in order to save her, he immediately becomes.
She's like, we could bring her back to life if you join me,
right? And they do,
and he immediately calls her master.
He's like, master. And they do,
they bring her to life. Something Palpatine did not do.
No, they bring her back, and then he just. They always have that. The hood is a Jedi and a Sith thing.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, that hood just looks immediately evil once he puts it up. Sure, yeah, sure. It always does. So the hood goes up and he's lost. He's lost to us.
Yeah.
But then do they leave? Like, it looks like at the end, it's like a ship kind of picks up from the back of the building.
Sure.
And I'm like, are they leaving the planet that she just kind of took over?
Masago says something about...
We'll bring order to the galaxy.
Yeah, she basically quotes Vader.
Yeah.
She's going to make this guy an apprentice now. Yeah. So maybe they are going to go and do whatever.
But I'm always like, why do you want to bring order anywhere? Just be rich.
Yeah.
Do crime.
Do crime.
Be gay, do crime. That's the thing.
So, I am excited for more of these.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think they should push the bananas. And I think I think it's
that should be like if we had merch, I would want that. Push the bananas.
That's always my note.
Push the bananas.
Push the bananas. it seems like these people really have autonomy in a way that probably a lot of other Star Wars projects you don't have autonomy. Mm-hmm. It really seems like they're just like, yeah, you know, you can make one of these shorts, and they just fucking do it.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about it. And
I hope it keeps getting better, like Love, Death, and Robots. I hope they just keep pushing it and going. Yeah.
It's such a, because it is such a fertile world and just such iconic building blocks that you can just rearrange in all these different ways to be interesting. And I'd like them to do, and this is a note for all of Star Wars, I'd like them to do less Jedi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just do more in the world shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess that's why Tatooine Rhapsody kind of
works. It stands out.
Because it's just its own thing.
Right.
He's like, I was a Jedi, but I can't do that anymore, so let's not worry about it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did it.
Yeah.
This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by Janine Gagliardi.
You wanted to say guillotine.
I really did. But I can't use it all the time.
You can't. That's like, only for Halloween.
I can't use it all the time. As much as I want to, as much as in my head, that's what I say. We end the episode by saying,
Imagine I may you rise and go bye-bye.